It's NHL Fantasy on Ice, an NHL Studios production with Rob Reese and Pete Jensen.
What's going on, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, week 6 waiver wire pickups on tap for this morning. We're excited about it. The season is progressing nicely. A bunch of injury returns over the weekend, significant ones, so looking forward to getting to that. Guest Waiver Wire James, follow him at Waiver Wire James. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Petey? What's up, James? How are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Yeah, a lot of returns over the weekend. Some exciting storylines, so I'm excited to get into it. A couple of guys I think I'm going to add to the Waiver Wire right now that weren't on the original list. So you know, just a tease there. But no, I'm excited. Let's do it.
So biggest returns over the weekend for sure are Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights and Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. These are guys that I think you could go out there and propose some trades for those guys because their value is a little bit lower than it would normally be if they were fully healthy. Are you guys more excited about one versus the other? Crosby can hold his own line. Stone's going to have to do that until at least Pacioretty comes back and then eventually Eichel later on, hopefully. But how are you guys feeling about those two teams and those two players?
I'm excited for Mark Stone. I mean, I think that's the big one here, James. I mean, you get a better position at right wing if you're comparing the players head to head. Vegas is just a team I think has a better sense of security right now than Pittsburgh does. I'd surely take Lehner any day of the week over Tristan Jarry, who got his doors blown off Sunday night, decimated by the Washington Capitals there in Crosby's return. Crosby, I am excited about, though, too. I don't think you can take away from that. He's been tried and true in fantasy since he entered the NHL, and certainly with Jake Guentzel, he scored a pretty goal, the only goal he scored on Sunday. So I think that one's exciting too, James, but I would definitely say if I was skeptical about one of them, it would be more so the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I don't trust the Penguins as much as I would Vegas. I do agree with that. But that being said, it's Sidney Crosby, and you can never discount him coming back to the lineup and the effect that he's going to have on guys like Guentzel and on Rust. And obviously, even shifting a guy like Evan Rodriguez down in that lineup right now, he seems like he's getting a pretty prominent role until Evgeny Malkin comes back. So, you know, there's definitely that trickle down effect of bringing Crosby back in that I think could have a positive impact on a guy like Rodriguez, who I believe has 11 points so far on the season. That could actually help him potentially produce more just because he's now going to be seeing easier defensive matchups with Crosby on that line drawing the harder ones. But yeah, I mean, Stone coming back is huge. It now solidifies Chandler Stephenson once again. Yevgeny Dodonov had a 3-point game the other night, two goals and a beautiful pass on a 2-on-1 that Stone feathered over Oliver Ekman-Larsson's stick in their game against Vancouver the other night for Dodonov's second goal of the game. You know, so he had a 3-point night with 6 shots on goal, thanks to the return of Mark Stone. So we're already seeing those dividends come back positively for Vegas. And, you know, I think it just bodes even more scary for the NHL once Pacioretty and Jack Eichel both come back. If you put those two on a line with Mark Stone, that's going to be one of the 3 or 4 best lines in the NHL.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Dodonov, because they're going to be ripple effects on both sides of these returns, right? You have on Pittsburgh's side, you know, Jeff Carter being pushed back to a more normal role for him at this stage of his career. Evan Rodriguez, who you mentioned, it's amazing how they get sometimes Pittsburgh gets these casts offs from places like Buffalo and then turns them around. Evan Rodriguez, if you haven't realized, has 11 points in 14 games this season. He was playing some wing when Crosby was out. Now he's back to center, like James said. So, I mean, just keep an eye on these guys because they go to strange places sometimes, the Pittsburgh Penguins, to find fantasy value. But now they do have not only Guentzel with Crosby, but they have Brian Rust back healthy as well. He missed a lot of time this year. So look for that to boost Brian Rust. If you're in a shallow league, he might be floating around out there. And then on Vegas's side, not only that top line with Dodonov and Chandler Stephenson and Stone, but also that second line will have some pressure taken off. I saw Jonathan Marchessault is back among the top 100 overall players right now based on category coverage. And Riley Smith, even with William Karlsson out for the past few weeks and still to be out for a few more weeks, Riley Smith is back on the fantasy map with points in five of his past six games. So I think, like, as much as we talk about these high profile guys in these two cases, you always are more inclined to look at the ripple effect and where you could actually find some guys out there on the wire, because you're going to have to give up a lot if you're going to go out there and trade in fantasy for Mark Stone or Sidney Crosby, right?
Yeah, I doubt anybody's trading Mark Stone. I can't imagine a scenario. I mean, unless the return is so good, right? Like if you offered Panarin and for Mark Stone, I'm sure they would take Panarin, but I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I do want to say, I think the biggest beneficiary of that was that they were playing the Vancouver Canucks, who are probably the second worst team. Well, they are in the standings in that division right now, but it looks like that team has just completely gone off the rails. When you're down in the basement with Seattle, that is very bad company there to be in, especially when you compare the two rosters on paper, James. I think I'm most surprised by how little fantasy value the Canucks have returned, maybe outside of JT Miller. And then Thatcher Demko, if you're in a saves league, he's getting a lot of saves, but his save percentage is now going to dwindle as well.
Well, I put Quinn Hughes and Connor Garland up there as well. But yeah, it's very, very frustrating to see from a our perspective, because I think this is the second or third year in a row that we were all very, very high on Vancouver going into the season. And they have just completely, let the floor fall out underneath them. And I don't know if it's a talent perspective as much as I think it's a coaching and a system perspective. But, you know, Thatcher Demko is a Stanley Cup caliber goaltender. The top six on this roster is a Stanley Cup caliber top six. And they have, two or three high quality defensemen on this team with Hughes and Tyler Myers and Ekman Larson. So like the talent is there. They just seem to be lacking structure right now. Elias Pettersson is not having a good start to the season. Anybody, myself included, unfortunately, who has him on your fantasy roster, I've been trying to trade Elias Pettersson for a few weeks now to try and sell high on the name, and I can't get any takers. And unfortunately, it's just where you are with the Canucks at this moment. They're a team that, has talent, but I think is just a little devoid of structure.
I have Bo Horvat in one league. He's been decent, but yeah, I think you see all those secondary scoring options, whether it's Besser on the top line or the second line, he's been underwhelming. Connor Garland, who you mentioned, came over in the offseason, no goals, four assists in his past 10 games. So even Garland, who then gets bumped down to the third line occasionally, is droppable in some fantasy leagues, the standard ones. I think that when you look at the structure of the team, defensively, it's a big problem. I mean, Dom came on in the offseason. He was talking about it. I just remember that because it's something that the analytics community has been really hard on the Canucks on for two seasons now, and it's definitely rearing its ugly head here. I think that Pod Colson is a guy that maybe if there were to be a coaching change, he could be utilized a little bit better. He's been explosive, but his ice time is extremely low, like less than 10 minutes per game. So I think they got to be playing Pod Colson a little bit more as he gets acclimated to the NHL.
Well, and they do not have a tough or a good schedule this week. They play Colorado on Wednesday, and Colorado is a team that is just trending up, up and up now. Special thanks to Sam Girard and Devon Taves. Definitely Sam Girard, though. If you held on to him and you held on to him when he was out of the lineup, you really got a good return there. A couple multi-point games in a row for him. Devon Taves scored a goal the other night. James, do you see some appeal now in picking back guys up like Andre Burakovsky, Kadri, Compher, all that kind of supporting cast for the Avs?
Absolutely. JT Compher is skating on that first line in place of Nathan MacKinnon for probably like another two or three weeks is going to be one of the top streams in the NHL at the moment, just because of the exposure. And then just look at what Nazem Kadri is doing right now. He had a 3-point game over the weekend, and he's got points in six consecutive games. He's covering all categories from power play points, shots on goal, hits. He has 14 points so far on the season. He has just taken that step that we were questioning in the offseason whether or not he was capable of taking, and if that spot was up for grabs for Colorado to go out and make a trade to replace him, because remember, He is a free agent at the end of the year. We obviously know it's the patented Rob Reese final year of your contract fantasy bump. But, you know, it is what it is with him right now. He's playing on that line with Burakovsky, and he's looks like he's out to prove something. And he is right now. So, yeah, I mean, Compher, Kadri, Burakovsky, with Bowen Byram out right now, you have to try and hammer Devon Taves if he's available in your league. Sam Girard, I think, is like 50% owned in leagues. So, you know, he's probably not as readily available as Byram was. But yeah, there's just so much depth and production that they offer on that team. So you can tap into it. And Darcy Kuemper, don't, you know, sleep on the fact that he, after those first two games where he gave up 7 goals against, has been one of the 7 or 8 best goaltenders in the league since. So, you know, he's on the warpath now as well.
And they'll eventually get Pavel Francouz back, you hope. So even more insurance in the goaltending department to come for the Avalanche. Do keep an eye, though, on JT Compher. I know he got injured in the last game. I don't know if it's just a day-to-day thing or anything longer, but he's been playing a really heavy workload this year as a forward, has had a couple of games over 20 minutes. He's averaging 18-24. He was playing in that great spot, but just keep an eye on him before you pull the trigger and add JT Compher here. And then, yeah, Colorado's schedule this week is a joke. I mean, it's Vancouver, Seattle, and Ottawa, probably the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league, especially now that Chicago's trending up with a couple of wins in a row after their coaching change. But it couldn't get any easier than that. So if Compher's good to go, you know, get him in your lineup. Any of those defensemen, keep an eye on Byram because he's banged up as well, like James said. But that's like how good that defense is. Like, it'll be a lot of points to go around when they're all healthy. But if you keep your patience going with each of those individual guys, Makar obviously is a must roster in all formats, but Byram, Girard, and Taves, they will eventually ignite for you and make it well worth it for keeping any of those single guys on your roster.
So Kevin Hayes is another guy that came back for the Philadelphia Flyers. He had an assist in his first game back, but I got to say, guys, I am fading the Philadelphia Flyers and Kevin Hayes. I was initially excited about this one until I did some due diligence and checked their schedule. I think they might lose the next 6 games, or it's certainly a possibility. They play Calgary, Tampa Bay, Boston, Tampa again, Florida Panthers, and the Carolina Hurricanes. I might say wait to pick up Kevin Hayes there, James.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. You know, I threw him on the waiver list this week because it obviously is a big name returning from injury, and he had a really solid first game back. But, you know, he would be a streaming option more than anything right now. And I have to see how he comes back a little bit more. But, you know, you look at the upcoming schedule, you look at where their production is right now. They have had a better start to the season than I think most people would have pegged them for. But yeah, you look at this team and you look at where he's skating on that second line with Joel Farabee and Cam Atkinson. So, you know, it's going to be a line that generates a lot of shot attempts and, you know, they will generate the play and they will run the play and generate offense. But yeah, I can't 100% say I love Kevin Hayes as a fantasy player right now. You know, I think his career high is only somewhere about 49 or low 50s for points for a season. So, you know, I'm not running out to pick him up, but in deeper leagues and especially in faceoffs leagues, he's definitely somebody that you should have on your radar.
Yeah, Kevin Hayes is going to play second power play. He's going to play second line in place of Derek Brassard, who was actually a pleasant surprise for the Flyers. He allowed Farabee to have a hot start. He allowed Atkinson to make a smooth transition to Philly. And I think that Kevin Hayes is twice the player that Derek Brassard is right now. They also got Ryan Ellis back over the weekend, which is a huge thing for them to sustain any of this good stuff that they've put forth so far in the early season. It's actually pretty surprising that they were able to play as well as they did, especially in some of those road games against expectations without two strong two-way players like Kevin Hayes and Ryan Ellis. So I am actually saying I've been down on the Flyers like you have, Robbie, but I've actually been encouraged somewhat by what I've seen in the whole body of work. And I like getting those two guys back. So I would take a chance on Kevin Hayes in a deeper league. I know we were thinking about Kevin Hayes versus Jordan Staal, who is the third line center on the Hurricanes, one of the best teams. I think, we calmed down a little bit on Hayes and we ended up keeping Jordan Staal, who covers hits. Hayes does as well a little bit, but I just think you're looking at a potential liability in the Flyers, like you alluded to, and you can have a guy from a safer team like Florida third line center Lindell, or Carolina third line center Jordan Staal. Maybe you lean in that direction as opposed to Kevin Hayes as the 2C for Philly.
I think I'd much rather have a guy like Ryan Hartman for the Minnesota Wild. Again, go back and watch our network segments. I think I talked about him last week or 2 weeks ago now, but he's been on fire, James. It's kind of surprising. I think that one is a player that you just kind of look at and you never really saw the production from him in his career prior. And now it just sort of clicked for him. He's got a lot of shots. He's scoring a lot. He's playing 17, 18 minutes a game. So I think Ryan Hartman now is kind of dusting off that reputation and putting himself into maybe a 45, 50 type point player conversation.
Well, obviously it's because they put him with my man Rem Pitlick over the weekend. And, that just sparked some magic, but
yeah, what?
No, I know he scored a hat trick. Hats off to him, but I didn't really, was not too familiar with the player beforehand.
But, you look at Ryan Hartman right now. I mean, 47 shots on goal in 14 games, 7 goals, 11 points, only has 1 power play point. So, if there's anything that you can say is like, hey, I wish that, he would maybe get a little bit more of an opportunity now on that power play with his production, at the place that it is. You look at his career high from, the 16-17 season with Chicago was 31 points and 170 shots on goal. And he's easily on pace to break those numbers right now. But it just feels like every year for the last like 2 or 3 years, we get this with the Minnesota Wild. Like last year, it was Joel Eriksson Ek came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, he's a top six, potentially even a top line center. Now Ryan Hartman, who's been a career journeyman and, has played for 3 or 4 other teams, never really done anything, is now getting this opportunity and is taking it and running. And, I love stories like this. He would be a guy I would stream right now. He's one of those players that you ride him while he's hot. And if he keeps it going, awesome. And then as soon as he, cools off for like 3 or 4 games, you're able to drop him. I'm not putting a ton of stock in Ryan Hartman, but he's somebody that you can't ignore with where he's playing right now and with where the Minnesota Wild are at this moment in the season.
He's doing a really nice job covering categories for the Wild, for multi-category formats. He also has center right wing eligibility. So, I think that it's safe right now. When Robbie mentioned him and when Robbie mentioned some of these guys, it's a little bit ahead of the curve. Now it's curving in the right direction. So I think he's going to be in our top 100 forward rankings. Certainly deserves it when you're putting up those type of numbers, even if you're on, say, a second or third line at different points during that stretch. So full approval on Ryan Hartman. One new kid on the block for the New Jersey Devils that's been really impressive is Dawson Mercer. He's centering the second line with, Andreas Janssen, who's been a big surprise, and Jesper Bratt. So he's playing on that line. He shares up top with Pavel Zacha. The Devils have some sneaky offensive appeal and a really deep prospect pool, Robbie and James. So I think we're starting to see things materialize for New Jersey. And right now he's third in rookie scoring behind the 2 Red Wings guys. So what to make of this guy? Is he a real deal? Staying power, Dawson Mercer? Get to know the name.
I think he is. I mean, he's an elite talent. He was a pretty high draft pick in 2020 for the Devils, who have had a pretty good track record taking kids in the first and second round the past few years. So I like Dawson Mercer, James, and I think this is maybe more indicative of the league state in general right now. There is a lot of rookie forwards that have had success. Whether it's sustainable or not, they've at least had some good point streaks. Even Connor McMichael now is up, I think, 3 points or so in his past five games. I mean, a lot of these sneaky kids are starting to produce, and they're getting time on ice because there's so many injuries this season. There's so much COVID-19 protocol. Again, look at Drake Batherson, for example, has 4 points against the Pittsburgh Penguins and then is on the COVID protocol the next day, right? So when you have a situation like a Dawson Mercer or insert any rookie forward with top pedigree name there that has a chance in the lineup, that's playing above 15 minutes a game, I think you should stream him.
I mean, let's be honest, Rob. It'd be pretty hard to mess up drafting Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier. I'll give you Ty Smith. But Mercer has been absolutely, you know, he's been, you know, a great pleasant surprise for them. But I think everybody has to realize too, right now, he's just the placeholder until Jack Hughes comes back. Now it does, you know, kind of bode well if he can, you know, keep this confidence and keep this experience for when he does get dropped down onto that third line. But who knows? Maybe they decide that they want to shift him to the wing and keep him in that top six with his exposure to, you know, Hughes or Hischier on one of those top lines as a winger. But, you know, I'm 100% all in on Dawson Mercer right now. The Devils as a whole have been in, you know, a pleasant surprise so far to start the season. I know a few weeks ago I said that, you know, I wasn't as high on Dougie Hamilton because of the start all around that he's had. He's playing, you know, great right now. PK Subban has been chipping in a few points here and there over the last 5-6 games. So he looks, you know, a little bit like the old PK Subban, but you know, this team is young and it's exciting and it's hungry. And Mercer is right there with them. I believe he had another assist last night in their game against the Rangers. So I think he's up to 11 points on the season right now. So yeah, I would 100% be jumping on this kid just with, you know, the understanding that as soon as, you know, Jack Hughes comes back, you're going to be in for a lineup shuffle of some kind.
And the Devils are not a pushover this year. They're completely different than the past 2 years, I would say, where they have a rising young core, elite defenseman in Dougie Hamilton, who is now back from injury. Mackenzie Blackwood is back after all the ups and downs of the preseason and all the things he was dealing with. So all of a sudden, you look at the Devils in that division as being able to play with anybody on any given night. Exhilarating game against the Rangers. Beat up on the Islanders the other day. That was a shocker. They beat the Penguins earlier in the year. It doesn't matter. They can match up with anybody right now in the Metro Division. So I'm really impressed by them. And I think that means that you can start, you know, picking up a guy or two from New Jersey and not thinking of them as a bottom dweller team anymore. Even if they finish, say, last in that division at the end of the year, they're probably not going to be that far out behind teams like Philly and Columbus and the Rangers and Pittsburgh. So I think that our level of confidence in New Jersey as a whole has changed a lot from last year to this year.
I just think the Metro, it's kind of bizarre right now because Pittsburgh and the Islanders are stuck at the bottom of the standings, which probably shouldn't hold. One of those two teams will be in the playoffs. I mean, that would be shocking if one of them missed. I think the Islanders just, I'll always give them a pass until they start playing at home at UBS. I think starting a 13-game road trip is near impossible for any team, no matter how solid you are. So the fact they're even over 500 there, I think is a pretty good sign. But you mentioned a key topic when it comes to the waiver wire, staying power, James. And I think one guy on this list that really does have staying power and is going to be available, even if you're in a deeper league, is Andreas Athanasiou for the Los Angeles Kings. He's skating in a top six role and is up to 5 points in five games. And that second line for LAK is really, really sneaky, James.
I love Athanasiou. I've been a big fan of his since he was even on Detroit. And yeah, you look at that team right now, and this is a scary team. And they're doing it without their two top defenseman. And, you know, I love where Athanasiou is at. Like you said, he's got 5 points, 10 shots on goal in 5 games so far. That second line skating on it with Phil Deneau and Alex Iafallo. And Iafallo is a guy who we've talked about in previous weeks here on the podcast as well, about somebody that you need to be, you know, looking at. And they're doing it with Victor Arvidsson being on the COVID list for now over 2 weeks. And there's been radio silence on Victor Arvidsson. You know, nobody is indicating when he, you know, how serious it is, you know, when he's coming back. And so, you know, we're going to see another lineup shuffle to this top six when he does return. But right now, Athanasiou is, you know, stamping his name on that second line. And I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. But it is going to be interesting to see how they wedge Arvidsson back in, because Adrian Kempe is playing really great right now in Arvidsson's spot on that top line left wing. Dustin Brown is averaging, you know, 3.5 shots on goal per game at the moment. And then, like you said, that second line of Deneau, Iafallo, and Athanasiou is probably the best line that the Kings are rolling out right now. So, you know, they have sneaky. Now, of course, I was high on the Kings going into the season. I had them as a playoff team. And once they lost Walker and Doughty, I thought, you know, there's no way that they can keep this thing afloat. And they've just, you know, rolled off win after win and have looked absolutely phenomenal. Jonathan Quick, you know, looks like the old Jonathan Quick right now. You know, you need to go out and pick him up if he's available in your league at the moment. So there's some, and Cal Clegg as well, the young defenseman. So there's some sneaky fantasy depth on a team like Los Angeles at the moment.
And they're going to get Doughty back eventually. It's not like he's out for the whole season, and they're hopefully going to get Quentin Byfield into the mix as well. They could try to integrate him to be their 3C of the present. And, you know, you expect them to be higher in the lineup in the future, but it's just another high-end piece that they're going to add to the mix eventually. And the Kings are 7-0-1 in their past 8 games. Couple of tough matchups this week. They play 3 games. They play the Capitals, they play the Hurricanes, and then they wrap up the week with the Coyotes. So I still think that guys like Clegg, guys like Quick, guys like Adrian Kempe, who's playing top line with Kopitar and Brown, I mean, these are guys that you have to really consider and view the Kings, like we were saying on the show with Leboff, Robbie, right? Like, kind of a step above the surprising teams like the Sharks, like the Ducks. I still think that the Kings are the class of the California teams right now for the rest of the season, and they could get even better once they start getting some of these pieces back.
Well, and keeper in dynasty leagues too. I mean, you'd much rather be the Los Angeles Kings than the Philadelphia Flyers, than the Montreal Canadiens, right? I mean, insert Anaheim now into this conversation as well. And one of the biggest questions I've been getting on Twitter is, okay, you know, is this thing with Troy Terry going to continue? Are we selling high here? I would say right now it would be kind of foolish to sell away any Anaheim Ducks, kind of like what James said, just when we kind of expected LA to take a step back when they lost two big defensive names. And then, you know, they had two bad games, and then all of a sudden now they're raffling off wins, it seems like every single night. You got to be patient. Now, I think Anaheim, and this is important, they do have a tough schedule this week. They play Washington on Tuesday, Carolina on Thursday. Then next week, they've got Nashville and Colorado. That's their next 4 games in a row. So those are all pretty worthwhile opponents this year. Nashville, certainly the weakest of the bunch, but they've been playing all right too. So I think that's going to be your litmus test here. Is this team legit? If they can come out above 500 in that stretch, I think that's your answer for the rest of the season.
I think they are legit. And I think that, you know, part of it definitely comes down to that first line. I mean, at the beginning of the season, if we said a month into the season, would you have had Ryan Getzlaf and Troy Terry as the 20th and 23rd ranked players in Yahoo standard leagues? You probably would have kicked me off the show. You know, but you look at this team, that they're playing at a very, very high level. They're getting, you know, secondary scoring from where they need to. Isaac Lundstrom has 10 points on the season. They have two defensemen in Cam Fowler and Kevin Shattenkirk who have more than 10 points right now. And John Gibson is back to being, you know, Vezina caliber John Gibson that we, you know, came to expect of him. I mean, he had back-to-back down seasons the past 2 years where I think he had like a 905 and like a 907 save percentage. But he's bouncing back right now and is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. So, yeah, I really do think that they have staying power, especially with where that division is. I think that, you know, they have a legitimate shot to be a playoff team. And I would be riding Troy Terry and Ryan Getzlaf, Adam Henrique. You know, Trevor Zegras had a couple of points in their game last night. So, you know, maybe he can, you know, start getting going and throw himself back into that Calder Trophy race as well. But, you know, right now, you know, like Rob said, I completely agree. You can't sell on a guy like Troy Terry, who I think is, what, fourth in the league in scoring at the moment?
Right. If you're selling on Troy Terry right now, it's got to be for someone who's either missed time or someone that's a super high-end player. Like, names that come to mind, would I sell high on Troy Terry for Mark Scheifele? I might, you know, because Mark Scheifele is like a top 10 point producer, top 15 at the minimum the past 3 years or so in the whole league. So, and I think he'll eventually get it going. Would I sell high on Terry for Elias Pettersson? Probably not. I would probably keep Terry at this point, crazy enough. I don't know where you guys stand on that. I know Ravi's, you know, a backer of Pettersson in the past. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I would, that one, Pete, I'm sorry, but I'm jumping off the Pettersson ship and I'm swimming and calling for help from Troy Terry's camp. There's no way I would trade him for Pettersson right now. I think just what we were talking about, the Canucks, right? Like, I'm not trading for him. But when you said Mark Scheifele's name, I was intrigued by that one. And James, I don't know if I'm playing with too much recency bias in fantasy. This year I've been, I think, the most recent focus I've ever been, but my teams are doing pretty well. I don't think I would trade him for Scheifele either right now, if we're being totally honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in one of my fantasy leagues that I'm in is a weekly league, and there was a trade over the weekend that was Jordan Eberle for Mark Scheifele, and the commissioner actually vetoed it because but the crazy thing is that the owner who had Scheifele was the one who offered the trade for Eberle.
Wow.
You know, and it literally came out of nowhere. I was talking to the guy who had Eberle, and he was like, "I slam dunk, let's go." You know, but it is. I mean, I would probably say right now you can't trade a guy like Troy Terry unless you're getting, you know, a top tier guy, because at the moment you don't know when Troy Terry is going to cool down. So you have the right to sit there and demand, you know, the type of compensation that would come with him being, you know, a top five scorer in the league right now. So yeah, I think that he is a sell high candidate, but at the same time, when you watch that team play and, you know, you follow, you know, like Ducks Twitter for the last few years, Terry has been a better player than people, you know, would have expected and where his numbers are. And I don't necessarily know if this is shocking to a lot of players or to a lot of people who have consistently followed that team for the last 3 or 4 years with Troy Terry on it.
I do want to just bring this up. I hate to be the downer, but I guess the only scenario in which I could see the Ducks really falling off quickly is if John Gibson had any sort of injury or something nagging, which he's had in his history before. But other than that, I think this is a team too, where John Gibson's probably playing his way, certainly is a Vezina favorite right now. And then beyond that too, he's auditioning to be the number one goalie for Team USA at the Olympics this year. And I could certainly see that happening too. Just a guy that, you know, if there's not enough spotlight on him now because of the market they play in, and typically, you know, people on the East Coast, well, me especially, I go to bed early, but you're not seeing a lot of Ducks games being played. I think you're really, if he stays healthy, he stays in the lineup, you're really going to see his name talked about extensively at the Olympics this year. And that might get him to the spotlight that gets him a Vezina trophy that can maybe get the Ducks even into the playoffs, Petey.
Rob, you need to open your heart to Anthony Stolarz.
No.
Just open it up and let him come in.
There's no scenario in which Anthony Stolarz has to come in there and lead that team if Gibson went down, James. No chance.
It's interesting. The Anaheim Ducks are a top five offense overall in the league this year. Obviously, their 5-on-5 shooting percentage, as you could imagine, is really high. They're top five in 5-on-5 shooting percentage. They're also top five, or sixth actually, a hair behind top five in PDO. So there could be some major regression coming. That said, even if those other guys regress, they might get Ricard Raquel back from injury. Trevor Zegras might get going. I see some other guys deeper down the line on that team, even like some third line type guys like Sonny Milano, 8 points in 11 games. You see the defenseman, like James mentioned, Jamie Drysdale is probably going to have a nice spurt at some point this year. Even though I'm steering clear of him in plus minus leagues, I'm sure he'll get better over the course of the year. So all of a sudden you're looking at like three strong lines. I actually just picked up Trevor Zegras mid show. I dropped Anton Lindell for Trevor Zegras after Zegras's 3 point game over the weekend. And I did that because I had Zegras in that league. It's a keeper face-offs league. I dropped him, kind of regretted it shortly after I did, even though he wasn't producing quite yet. But I made sure I got him right back because he's had a good shot volume all year. And I think the Ducks have proven that they're not just like the Terry Getzlaff line, and when they fall off, then the wheels fall off. I think they're actually like a three-line team that could keep this going. Maybe not be a top five offense, but could they be top half of the league? When it's all said and done, I think absolutely with that type of depth.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm very, very high on the Ducks right now. So a question I have for you guys, and one guy who, like I said, I'm kind of adding to the waiver list right now, is Robert Thomas from the St. Louis Blues. And I had a question over the weekend on Twitter that said, should I drop Robert Thomas, or should I drop either Perron or Ryan O'Reilly for Robert Thomas? And I said, I wouldn't touch Rohr, but you know, Perron, you might be able to make the case for. You look at where Thomas is right now. I mean, three consecutive multi-point games, seven assists in his last three games. He has a power play point in each of those three contests. And I don't know. I mean, you can probably make the case because David Perron is skating on that third line with Tyler Bozak and Brandon Saad, to drop Perron for a Robert Thomas who's skating with Vladimir Tarasenko and Ivan Barbashev in on that second line. And he's centering that second power play unit with Buchnevich and Jordan Kyrou on it. So where are you guys on a situation like this?
No chance for me. I'm keeping Perron, definitely keeping Ryan O'Reilly. I wouldn't even drop Buchnevich for Robert Thomas. Now, for Thomas, I want to say we've been waiting, I think, for him the past few years to kind of be that player he was projected to be. It's good to see the points are coming his way, but let's look a little further down the stat line here. He has one goal in 14 games. That doesn't really cut it for me in fantasy. Beyond that, he has 15 in 14 games. I don't know what's going on there, but certainly in fantasy, James, that's going to hinder my week-to-week performance. Whereas David Perron, he has 6 goals and he has 37 shots. Buchnevich has played less games. He has 4 goals, 35 shots. Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, I know he's only got 5 points in 10 games and his shooting totals aren't good, but he's the glue guy with that team. He's been their leader the past few seasons, especially when they won the Stanley Cup. And, you know, as much as I play with the recency bias this year, I would want to see more in those other categories from Robert Thomas before cutting loose one of those kind of established guys.
So the Blues have been for the past 2-3 weeks in Robbie's team power rankings, which you could find on NHL.com/fantasy. They've been a top five team because of their offensive depth. Like, it didn't even come to mind, but I was just looking at one of my rosters where Robert Thomas is available, and I have Buchnevich and David Perron on that team. It's a face-offs league, so even more appeal to a Robert Thomas there. But I would not cut the cord because I think those two guys go hand in hand, like you guys were saying, with O'Reilly and Perron. Even if they separate them a little bit, when the going gets tough, they'll go back to those guys and they'll turn it around, and they'll both be, from that point on to the end of the season, they'll both be point per game players very quietly for the Blues. So yeah, I would steer clear of Robert Thomas unless you're in a deeper league. He also is taking advantage of some bigger ice time right now with Braden Schenn injured. That's another thing. When Schenn comes back, kind of clogs up the top six. And that's been the reason right why Robert Thomas has not had a full-fledged breakout yet, is because they have Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn on this current roster.
And I think in terms of futures play, those, James, I do like the Blues a lot. I know they've dropped two in a row here, but they're close one goal games. And when you look at their roster and we're kind of dissecting these different players that are all playing pretty well, I think that's a team that can easily win a playoff series. I mean, maybe even take down a team like Colorado or like more of those kind of high end, but lower depth type teams. I could definitely see that happening this year. Now, getting to goalies here before we wrap up, Alex Nedeljkovic, probably not available in too many leagues now, but I do think it warrants discussion. In his past eight games, he's 4-2-1 with a .930 save percentage. So really just excluding that one bad game, his first game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's been dynamite.
I love Nedeljkovic, and I was very, very high on that move. I was high on Detroit going into the season, and you look at him and you look at these numbers right now, and it still just baffles how all they did was trade a third round pick for him in the offseason. You know, and it's not that it isn't working out well right now for Carolina, but you just sit there and you say, like, how can, you know, you give up on this guy that quickly? You know, he's the starter in Detroit, and Detroit is a much more surprising team than a lot of people were, you know, giving them credit for going into the season. Nedeljkovic has won each of his past three starts. He's allowed two goals against in three of his past four starts. So, you know, yeah, I would 100% be jumping on the Alex Nedeljkovic train. 52% rostered, so he is available in almost half of Yahoo leagues. And, you know, obviously you have the recency bias of, you know, struggling to trust whether or not Detroit is a good team. But then you look at three of their next five matchups and you have Columbus, Dallas. Obviously, that's a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow. So Nedeljkovic is going to get one of them. Then they have Vegas, Arizona, and St. Louis. So Nedeljkovic is probably going to get four of those five starts. And I think that he easily can win two and maybe steal one if you catch Vegas or St. Louis on an off night. But, you know, I think that he should be favored to win whichever game against Columbus or Dallas he gets the start. And then obviously, you know, puck line anybody by two who's playing the Coyotes this season and, you know, take that money to the bank.
Well, Nedeljkovic was a Calder finalist last year, and I think the ceiling is extremely high. Even at the time of that trade, we were saying, you know, he's going to fall back, he's going to be a sleeper, but this is still a team that you're going to want to invest in for the long haul in terms of keeper and dynasty leagues. So, yeah, good to see him turning it around. And, you know, when you look at the landscape, I know he's like a borderline rookie if he is even still eligible, but you know, you look at some of the other rookie goalies out there. Spencer Knight, not playing that much, was efficient early on, but has fallen back. Kaapo Kähkönen, back-to-back wins, but doesn't play that much. Jeremy Swayman seems to be emerging from the pack with four straight wins, two or fewer goals allowed, and each of them played both games in the back-to-back and won both for the Bruins. So I think Linus Ullmark has fallen back into that 1B. You can maybe even drop him for a Nedeljkovic for a competitive team. And Ned is right there with all those guys I just mentioned in terms of really young goalies around the league that could make a big fantasy impact from right now till the end of the season.
I think my problem with Swayman and why I would give the edge, if I could choose between him or Ned, I'd probably go Ned. It's just because Swayman's quality of opponents has been really poor. Montreal, I don't even have to get into that. New Jersey, Ottawa, and then Detroit, he could win out, but he had 15 saves. I mean, come on, if you're in a saves league, you're getting next to nothing there. You're better off streaming an Ottawa goalie and just hoping that they can keep, you know, four pucks out of the net that night, James. So I do like Swayman, and I think the storyline's interesting, though, right? Because we saw Tuukka Rask been practicing at their facilities on the ice without a contract, which is definitely interesting in all of his Boston Bruins gear. I mean, certainly you have to think too, being Finnish, that Tuukka would want to play in the Olympics for Team Finland this year. So I don't want to speculate too much here, but it certainly seems to me as if Tuukka Rask can get himself in shape and ready to go by the Olympics, there might be a contract waiting from Boston either before or on the other side of that. And then it would seemingly be his net there, James.
I have nightmares about streaming Anton Forsberg in a in a league to try and just get saves. And let's not go there. I completely agree. You look at where Rask is right now, and you know, Swayman has looked fantastic for Boston. Ullmark has not looked like the player that we were expecting him to. When you looked at all of his underlying numbers that he, you know, put up in Buffalo, you figured he was going to a great situation, and he just hasn't. We were high on Swayman coming out of last year, and, you know, he has definitely fit the bill so far. The interesting, you know, caveat is going to be if a really, you know, another contending team decides to get into the goalie market or suffers some kind of a goalie injury. The one that comes to mind would be Edmonton, right? What happens if, you know, Mike Smith comes back and is not as effective, and, you know, Mikko Koskinen starts to, you know, wither off a little bit? Could a team like Edmonton call up Tuukka Rask and say, hey, buddy, do you want to come and play goal behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? You know, I think that Rask is definitely keeping his options open. The door seems like it is open for him to return to the Bruins whenever he wants to, but I also wouldn't be crazy shocked if, you know, one of these big teams, you know, suffers some kind of a goaltending injury and calls him up and says, hey, we need you to come, you know, backstop us potentially to a championship. You know, who knows, maybe late in the season, Colorado gives him a call and says, hey, come be the 1B with Kemper, and, you know, we're just going to tandem you guys. So who knows what's going to happen with Tuukka Rask right now. It's good to see him back in skating. I do think that he definitely wants to try and get one more shot at an Olympic roster. So, yeah, 100% with you on that one, Rob.
I could see Joe Sakic sprinting to the phone to faster than McKinnon skates down the ice if Kemper goes down.
I could see Joe Sakic driving to Boston to drive Tuukka Rask to Colorado.
Yeah, to call Boston or to call Chicago about Fleury or something like that. So definitely a storyline whenever that ball drops, if it happens, if Kemper goes down at some point. Colorado is not equipped maybe to even make the playoffs in their current state without Darcy Kemper. So we'll see about that for sure. James, thanks for joining us, man. Good insight as always. There are always new names to talk about every single week, and you're on the cutting edge of it. So we appreciate it, man.
It's always great, guys. We'll definitely be back next week. And by that time, the New York Islanders will have played a home game. In fact, they will have played two. So very, very excited for them to finally get in front of their fans and end this long road trip and see if they can dig themselves out of the cellar in the Metro Division. But yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
So for James Harding, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again next time, Thursday, Mailbag Rankings Edition on tap. Thanks for listening, NHL Fantasy on Ice.